would you be willing to share a message sometime? And I said, sure. And he said, because, you know, Lillianne and I would, you know, really like to take a holiday. And I said, absolutely. I want you guys to have a time of rest. And so I'm so happy that they were able to do this. And so in that time, I was asking the Lord, saying, Lord, what would you want me to share with everyone? And slowly, slowly, he showed me what he wanted to say. He gave me a verse right away, and I said, ah, one of my favorite verses, Lord, thank you. And then last Sunday, when Pastor started and said, oh, we're going to start a new series, and it's on the faithfulness of God, I was sitting in my seat, and I was laughing. I said, ah, Lord, there are no coincidences with you. And he says, so my message will dovetail really well with what the pastor has started. So I thank the Lord for that. I'm just going to open in prayer. Thank you, Lord. As we come into your presence, Father, let our hearts be open to receiving your word. May we hear you and may we obey. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to guide us in the Father's truth. In Jesus' name, amen. My prayer is that this message will bless you and remind you of God's infinite love for you and to bring you encouragement. Today, maybe someone here is worried. Someone is feeling anxious, or someone is afraid. Someone is lonely, has a burden in their heart. You know, we can get weighed down with life's troubles. We have family members that we worry about, financial issues, a job, your health. Whenever I've been in a difficult situation and I'm trying to figure things out in my own strength, the Lord has always reminded me of this scripture. And as I've meditated on it, it has always turned things around for me. So if I'm going to give this message a title, it is from Psalm 46:10, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And I want to repeat that. Be still and know that I am God. He's actually giving us a command. And if we want to obey God, we have to obey his word. There's two parts to this command, and both require something of us. Be still. What does that actually mean? Well, the first thing is that you have to make a decision to stop the worrying, to stop the fear, to stop the anxiety. The most important thing that we can do is to stop dwelling on the negative emotions and the thoughts. It also means that we have to stop striving and trying to figure it out on our own. We have to let go of that self-reliance. You know, it's okay to depend on God. Jesus totally depended on God. And I'd like to follow Jesus' example. If he totally depended on him, then I want to do the same. Being still means to surrender, and that's why I chose that song. We have to let go of those emotions that are keeping us bound. We have to let go of the control and give it to God. You know, one of the most important things about being still is to quiet your mind so that you can actually hear what God is telling you. When that voice in your head is so loud with negative feelings, how do you give God a chance to whisper in your ear? And I know we've all experienced that when all you can think about and remunerate in your head is, what am I going to do? Or how am I going to solve this? Or, Lord, how do I do this? And the Lord is saying, stop. if you can stop, then you're going to hear me and hear how I'm going to help you out of this situation. David, in Psalm 25, verse 4, says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." David chose to ask for help and to focus on the Lord's guidance. He knew where to look, and he acknowledged God's greatness. "You are my Savior." His hope, and we know biblical hope, is the expectation that God will do what he promised to do. And it was focused on him all day long. And sometimes that's what we have to do. All day long. How many times, as the pastor said, what you focus on, you give power to. So if all you're focusing on is the circumstance you're in, you will never give God the opportunity to help you. You won't be able to hear him. So being still is to stop giving power to those negative emotions and trust God and rest in his presence. "My hope, Lord, is in you all day long." Now, let's be clear. Being still doesn't mean do nothing. "Oh, I'm just gonna sit here and see what the Lord does, see what God does. Oh, I'm going to hope for the best." You know, that's the world's way of looking at things. Well, I'm going to hope for the best. That's not a biblical hope. It's a hope, my hope is in him all day long because I trust in him and I trust in his promises. I know this isn't necessarily easy because you have to make a decision and then you have to stand on it, even when the physical evidence tells you otherwise. But honestly, what is the alternative? To stay in your misery? No. You have to be courageous to walk with the Lord. And when we do, he promises to bless us. There are many verses in the Bible where God tells us to be courageous. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Ah, there's the attitude. "For I, the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go." God told this to Joshua when he was just about to send Joshua and the Israelites into the promised land, that promised land. They were going into the unknown. But he was saying to them, "Trust me, and when you do, I will take care of you." And before that, if you remember, Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two out of the 12 spies when there was a vast army that was going to, they had to battle against. And the other 10 spies came back and said, "Oh no, too big a vast, no, we're not fighting this. We're going to lose. We're going to," complaining, not trusting God. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, "No, we can do this. We have God on our side." So sometimes, when it's hard, we have to be courageous. And I know there are a lot of people here that have experienced that. When the evidence was, no. I know in my own life, time and time again, the Lord, when things did not look right, but I stood my ground, I said, "No, Lord, I'm going to stand on your promises." Because what Pastor said last week, he is faithful to his promises. And he always, always blessed me. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You have to stand your guard, and you have to be courageous. But you know, being courageous is a willingness to believe God in the face of adversity and not in our own ability or strength. When I can say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know you can help me. And it's relying on God's promise to see you through. And the beauty of this is that God responds to our commitment to stand, and he blesses us. So we have to be courageous, and we have to be still before the Lord. So you may ask me, okay, Rita, you've told me what the meaning of being still is, but how do I do it? How do I be still? How do I quiet that voice in my head? And the only way is by the renewing of your mind with the Word. To know God, I have to know His Word. And when you know His Word, you can trust Him. Several weeks ago, the pastor talked about how we have to change our hearts. And really, changing our hearts is all about renewing our mind with the Word. And when you renewed your mind, when you know the Word, then you can be still in every circumstance. Renewing your mind is actually changing your thought patterns to what God says. Now, this is not behavior modification. That's the world's way of dealing with it. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit within you, helping you to break free. The Holy Spirit is the one who will guide you and show you as you are in the Word. I don't know how many of you have experienced, you know, when you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden a scripture comes up and you think, I've read this scripture thousands of times, but the Lord has a message today and I get it today. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the scripture that you needed for that circumstance, for that day. So, the courageous part for us is to change our thinking. It means that we actively have to reject thoughts that are not in line with God's or that it contradicts His Word. Then, it's not only rejecting those thoughts, but then we have to replace them. We have to replace those thoughts with God's thoughts, with God's words. And that's what brings us to freedom. And really, that's another way of looking at repentance. Because repenting is a willingness for me to change the way I think. Acknowledging my wrong thinking and my emotions, because that's unbelief. And asking God to forgive me for not trusting Him and not believing Him. You know, when I've been worried about a situation or I don't know what to do, and it's all that my mind can think about, I have gotten so much better in my walk with the Lord. Before I would, you know, stay in it days. What am I going to do? Da, da, da. But now I've come to a point where maybe initially I might go, oh, okay, Lord. But because of my experience with Him, I reject those thoughts and replace them right away with what? The Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, and bless His holy name. I forget not His benefits to me. And I start saying, oh, Lord, you've helped me here. Lord, You healed me here. You provided for me here. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I can use the word to quiet my mind. And it changes my attitude. And that's another really important part, is you need to know the word, but you need to change your attitude. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say, now what? I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to change my attitude, say, thank you, Lord. You are my provider. Thank you, Lord. You bless me in all circumstance. So I can be still, and I know that God is with me and that he sets me free. Another way of looking at it is abiding in the word. Pastor has been quoting this scripture a lot lately, John 18, 31, 32. Jesus states, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. To abide in the word is to dwell in it, to stay in it, to let the word settle in your heart. Let it penetrate deep in your heart. Meditate on it. And you're thinking about it. It's not just about memorizing scripture, although you have to learn the word. But abiding is not trying to persuade yourself by repeating it over and over and over again. It comes from a deep place of knowing that as you learn the word, it just settles in you. And I've been in situations where something has come up, and because the word is in me, a scripture just pops into my head. And that helps me to say, ah, no, the Lord is here, and the Lord will show me. You know, you can't just skim through your daily Bible reading and just read whatever and think, well, oh, I did my half hour this morning. Great. That should do it. If you think that that will sustain you in the hard times, it won't. Abiding in the word is reading it, looking at it, dwelling in it, thinking about it throughout your day. You know, when I was working, I'm retired now, but we all have busy lives. We have work, we have children, but we can always have the word with us. If I was dwelling on a particular scripture, I would write it on a cue card and leave it on my desk. And throughout the day, I would read it. So I was still going through my daily life, but I would focus on that word. And I would focus on that for a week. I would ask myself questions. Lord, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that you will heal me in this situation? And it could be physical healing. It could be a hurt. And if I don't really believe you, Lord, or I want to believe you, but I don't know, then that's where you say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, show me. Help me to believe. And as you do, slowly but surely, the Lord shows you. And then you know. And in that time, often the Lord will point something out to me. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's a wrong thinking. A lot of times it's a wrong perspective. I didn't understand a situation years ago about something that had happened to me. And I kept looking at it in a way, this hurt, this hurt, this hurt. And I kept praying about it. And you know, the Lord finally said to me, and it was one morning, he said, stop looking at it from your perspective and look at it from my perspective. It stopped me in my tracks. And he said, look at how I was working in that situation and not why were you in that situation. And I had to re-examine that whole thing. And then when I started to see how the Lord was actually working and was providing for me and was helping me, I had to ask forgiveness because my perspective was totally wrong. And I thank the Lord and I ask repentance, and that hurt left. So, dwelling in his word, sometimes I have to listen to what he has to say to me. And am I going to obey him in those moments when he says, Rita, you got to fix a little something here? Because receiving his promises is conditional to our obedience. God wants to help me, but am I harboring any unforgiveness? And am I harboring any anger? If I'm harboring those things, then let me deal with those things so that God can help me and can bless me. I should be willing to submit those things to him and repent. And that's abiding in the word. I am applying the word to my life. And that's what sets me free. And that's what sets all of you free. You know, I'm going to do a little plug here for our women's group on Tuesday mornings. And if there's any woman here that still hasn't come, and if you're free, I highly recommend that you come. Because in the Tuesday group is an example of abiding in the word. Why? Because we discuss the Sunday sermon and we look at the scriptures that the pastor has chosen to teach us. This is not an intellectual exercise. We look at what do these scriptures mean to us, to me personally, and how can I apply them in my life? You know, the pastor helps us and guides us with so many topics that the Lord tells him to share with us. You look through the last 6 months, you know, why do I sit there and I take notes and I listen to his sermon again the following week? That's abiding in the word. The pastor shares it, but then I have to do something with it. We have to do something with it. You know, as he says, don't just warm the seats and say, oh, that was great, and walk out the door and not think about it till next Sunday. That's not abiding in the word. You know, pastors taught about the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to you, to fear the Lord? He has talked about God's loving kindness, how he helps us work in our hearts. David's steps to repentance. What a great sermon to be able to say, here's what you have to do to repent. Look at all the things that David did. And now his faithfulness. How faithful God is to us. So at our meetings, we say, how do I apply this to our lives? And we share with each other. We've developed a trust with the women. We're about 14 women. We've developed a trust that I can say, well, you know what? Here's how the Lord has blessed me. But we can also share, I'm struggling in this area. Help me to understand. What can I do? And then we pray for each other. And I know that the women here can attest how many times the Holy Spirit's presence and the Lord's presence has been there to break those bonds. And little by little, step by step, we become freer and freer, more in the light and less in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. That is abiding in his word. That's what he wants from us. He loves us so much, he wants us all to be free. Truly dwelling in his word is always examining, what is my belief? What are my actions? Am I doing what God would want me to do? Am I being pleasing to him? You know, abiding in the word should not be motivated by my need. Abiding in his word is because I want to be closer to God. I do it because I want to walk in his ways. Psalm 128, verse 1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. I abide in his word because I want to be pleasing to him. I want the word to change my heart. I want it to change my thoughts and my actions and my values to be like God's. And you know, when I do this, it creates stability. I have to say, in my walk with the Lord, these many, 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 many years, the one thing I can truly say is I am more stable now than I've ever been. And I give God all the glory for that. Why? Because my emotions and my thoughts are not all over the place and up and down all the time. I might have an initial reaction to something, but I can quickly go to, the Lord is here. The Lord is going to help me. He's going to show me. So abiding in the word gives you that stability. You can be stable when you stand firm and when you persevere and when you are courageous. Abiding in the word is actually saying it's a firm commitment. I am going to follow what it says. And we're blessed because we don't do it in our own strength. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the wisdom and the knowledge to know what to do and to be able to abide and be still. And that, you know, the people in the Old Testament, they did not have the Holy Spirit the way we do. That he walks with us and guides us every single day. You know, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit does nothing without what the Father has said. And the Father loves us so much. What does he do? He gives us Jesus. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us all the tools we need to be successful in this life in him. But like anything else, we have to use those tools. We always have a part to play. Being a Christian is not just sitting down and hoping for the best. But when we do our part, the Lord comes through every single time. And usually it's a step-by-step process. You know, as some people who know me well will attest, I am an organized person. I like to be organized. I like to know. Now, it is good, but there is a downfall because I like to be in control. And the Lord has had to work on me quite a lot about being in control is good, but you have to allow me to show you what to do. And so when I would pray for things, I wanted the Lord to show me the whole thing. How's it all going to work, Lord? Give me the whole path. And he would say, I light your feet. Psalm 119. I light your feet, and then I'll light your path step by step. Take the one step. Be faithful to me in that one step. You do that, and then I'll show you the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And I have learned to do that. And that is being dependent on him and not my own strength and not my own control. And I say, thank you, Lord. So, if we reflect on the second part of that command, know that I am God. The know here in Hebrew is yada, which means to know by experience, to have an intimate, personal relationship with God. It's not an intellectual understanding. It's a personal relationship. How many times has the pastor said, the most important thing is to have a relationship with him, connect with him, connect with him. I thought one day I'm going to listen to all his sermons and count how many times he has said to us, connect with God. Because when you connect with him, you know him and he will show you. That verse, God is saying, Rita, Steve, Andrew, bienvenue, all of us, know me. When you know me, you can trust me. How do you learn to trust somebody? Well, it's through experience with them. When you've known someone for a long time, you get to know how they think, how they're going to react to something, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. You learn what to expect from them. Every husband and wife that's in the room today, have you ever experienced your wife giving you a look? Don't have to say anything. You know exactly what she's thinking, or vice versa. It's the exact same thing. I trust my sister Maria. Why? Because I know what to expect from her. Because over the years, she has proven herself loyal and dependent to me. She is someone I can rely on. And we've developed a relationship through what? Shared experiences that no one else knows. You know, we'll be with family and whatever, and something will happen, and my sister and I will just start laughing. And my niece will get all upset. What are you guys laughing at? You guys, you know, you have the secret language, you know? And we'll be like, ah. And it's true. We have such a shared experience that we don't have to say anything. Or she could give me a look, and I'll go, mm-hmm, I agree. And we're across the room. And then later she'll go, did you think this is? I said, yep, I knew exactly that's what you were thinking. Well, I'm saying this because that's what a personal relationship is with God. I need to know him, and I only know him through experience and through reading his word. You know, with my sister, when I need something, she's usually the first person I call. And I'll listen to her advice. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it is within her power to help me, she will. And there's a mighty comfort in that. That comfort of knowing she has my back. Friends, it is exactly the same thing with God. And it's exponentially higher and better than any relationship you can have on earth. Because he loves you unconditionally and he cares for you. And when you develop that relationship with him, you will see he is loyal and he is dependable and he has your back. And that should be a comfort for all of us. I can rely on him. I know what to expect from God. And how wonderful that I can have my own unique experience with him. Because it's a personal relationship. He knows me. When I was born, he knows the very hairs of my head. He knows my weaknesses. He knows where I can get confused or off track. And he knows each and every one of you personally. He knows where you're stuck. But he knows the gifts he's given you. He knows the abilities he's given you. And he just wants to share that with you. Because he loves you so much. The more I experience God in my life, the more I know that he will help me. So that when hardships come, and we're always going to have hardships. You know, Jesus said, in this life, you will have many troubles. But, I am with you. And so I can seek the peace, and I can seek the guidance. And now, when things happen, I start to look back at where God helped me. Ah, you helped me here, Lord. You helped me here. My experience with him allows me to overcome now because I can say, Lord, you helped me then. You're going to help me now because you are stable. I can rely on you. You are consistent. You do not change. So I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I know you're going to help me. Thank you, Lord. I remember years ago, I can't remember if I read the story or it was a pastor telling the story. But I want to share it because I've always remembered it. And it's always been a good reminder to me. And this pastor flew a lot, preached in a lot of different places. So he was on a plane, and he was on an aisle seat, and he saw that a stewardess brought a little girl, about 10 years old. She was on her own, and you know, on planes, they can do that. There's a special program where a child, if they're traveling, they take care of them. That. So anyways, this little girl, the stewardess put her in the aisle across from him, and he thought, and he did pleasantries with her. Hello, hi, how are you, and whatever. And then the plane took off, and they're flying. And this little girl, you know, they chit-chatted a little bit. And finally, she took out a book and started reading. Well, they started to have turbulence on this plane. And, you know, if you've ever been on a plane with turbulence, I have twice, and I never want to experience that again. But started to shake and do stuff. And finally the pilot came on and said, I'm sorry, we're going to experience some pretty bad turbulence. We're going to try to fly above it. But please fasten your seatbelts, and we're going to try to get out of this as quickly as possible. And it got pretty bad. You know, if you've ever experienced it where you actually go down and then pop up, and if you don't have that seatbelt on, you're going to bump your head. And it was rocking and rolling, and he kept looking over at this little girl thinking, oh, sweetheart, she's all by herself. She just kept reading her book. Now, there's some people starting to scream because it's so bad. And he's looking over at her. She's just reading her book. And he says, God, forgive me. I started to say, hey, Lord, this is not pleasant. I don't know where it's going on, but let's get out of this. So one of the worst experiences he's ever had with turbulence on a plane. Finally, they get fly above, and they get out. Whew, you know, everybody calms down. And, you know, it was to the point where, you know, the air things come up and popped out, like, really bad. And, you know, he's looking over at the little girl. She's still reading her book. And so, you know, he leans over and kind of says, whew, that was a bit rocky, eh? And she looks over and smiles. He goes, I don't know about you, but to be honest, there was a point there where I was a little bit afraid. I was like, oof, I don't know. How about you? She's still reading her book. Gives him a look. She finally puts her book down, looks at him and said, my daddy's the pilot. The pastor said in that moment, he learned a valuable lesson. That little girl was not afraid in the midst of the storm. She kept reading her book. That little girl was at peace. Why? She knew her daddy. She trusted her daddy. She knew her daddy wouldn't let anything happen to her. And the pastor said, oh, that's what trusting the Lord is in the midst of the storm. I'm going to keep reading my book because I know the Lord has my back. I can be comforted and know, be still and know that I am God. You know, it's the Abba Father. Abba means daddy. He's your daddy. You know, I had incredibly loving parents, blessed to have them. And I was the youngest of four. I was daddy's little girl. My sister can attest to that. And there was nothing I loved more than cuddling up with my daddy, because I knew I was safe in his arms and he wouldn't let anything happen to me. We can all experience that. Each one of us. He is saying to us, know me. I'm your daddy. And maybe you didn't have the experience of a loving dad like I did. And you know what? Doesn't matter. The Lord can heal you of that. And he can say, I'll be your daddy. I'll be the one to take care of you. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the God of hope. He is your daddy. As I said earlier, I can't know him and trust him apart from his word. And when we abide in him, we know him. I know his character. I get to learn his character. I get to learn his principles. I get to know what he values. And as I meditate on the word, it does change my heart. What do I learn? I learn he is faithful. as Pastor shared last week. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you against the evil one. What else do I know about the Lord? He is merciful and loving. Ephesians 2:4-5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And what else do I know about God? He does not change. He is consistent. His unchanging character gives me a firm foundation that I can trust. Malachi 3:6, God declares, I, the Lord, do not change. Know that God is stable, he is reliable, and he is predictable. My emotions are not. My emotions are unreliable, and they change moment by moment. When I focus on his characteristics, why shouldn't I believe him rather than the circumstance I might find myself in? And lastly, to know that he is God is to know that he is sovereign. And that we acknowledge that sovereignty. He is the supreme authority, power, and his nature is unwavering. Then I can say, Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, and it's probably one of my favorite verses. I will look up, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But you know what? In that scripture, I have a part to play. You know what? The action is I have to look up. I have to look up to him, the sovereign God, and not at the circumstance. I know where my assistance comes from. I acknowledge that he is the only one that can get me out of the situation because he is the maker of heaven and earth. God is in control. And recognizing his sovereignty and control over all circumstances amid the chaos and the difficulties of life. When we have that deep awareness of who God is, it actually prevents me from walking this life carelessly and to be more conscious of his greatness. John 14:1 says, and Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust God, trust also in me. I have to do something there. I have the choice. Do not let my heart be troubled. Am I going to stay in the worry? That's my choice. But he's saying, no, trust God. Trust me. Be still and know that I am God is a command. But I want to change that and also say to you, it's a loving invitation. It's an invitation to come into his presence and to rest. Because when we come into his presence, we can rest. We can lay down our burdens. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are what? Heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that rest and that peace. That peace that passes all understanding and guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. We have a God that loves us and that is inviting us to say, come and rest. I'll show you and help you. And he guides us every single day, moment by moment, big issues, little issues. When we allow him to, he's always there. I invite you this week to read all of Psalm 46 because it talks about God, who is our refuge. You know, the first verse of that says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. And it goes on just to say his loving kindness, and towards the end, to be still and know that he is God. So that's my message today. I hope you were blessed by it. You know, through life experience, and I know each and every one of you can stand and say how the Lord has helped you. But sometimes we need encouragement and reminders, especially when we're going through the difficulty. But the blessing we have here at Mount Zion is that we're here to support each other and to pray for each other and to know that there is help and encouragement. You don't walk this walk alone. And the Lord knew that. That's why he said, come together, pray together, encourage each other. Because he wants us to come out of the darkness and into the light. So I'd like to pray right now. Father, thank you for this day. Your loving kindness is better than life. Father, I pray for all who are present today that they may know when the storms of life come, they can look up to you for the strength and the guidance, and that you will set them free, that you are the help that they need. And Father, help us to be courageous and to persevere. And we know that through the Holy Spirit, you give us that strength. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless. Have a great week. And remember, I'm expecting you all to be reading your Bibles. Praise the Lord. Please join us in the back for coffee and dessert.